From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Good news as the Supreme Court decides not to hear a case. A pastor from New York City has a solution for our divided country, and a Chinese warship threatens a U.S. Navy ship. That's all coming up on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. In what the U.S. Navy has called an unsafe and unprofessional encounter, a Chinese warship sailed within just 45 yards of a U.S. destroyer Sunday as it passed by Chinese-claimed features in the South China Sea, forcing the American vessel to take evasive action. The close call capped days of tit-for-tat military moves that came as President Donald Trump ramped up his trade war with China. Beijing reacted furiously over the incident, saying America's freedom of navigation operation threatened China's sovereignty and security and damaged military relations between the two powers. While the U.S. Navy conducts such freedom of navigation operations all over the world, China is particularly sensitive about the operations when they come near areas where the Chinese government has built islands and established military facilities on disputed maritime features. The Trump administration imposed 10% tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese goods on September 24th, in addition to the trade measures already in place. The Chinese government responded in kind with 5% to 10% tariffs on $60 billion in U.S. goods. The U.S. Navy characterized the Chinese ship's actions in the South China Sea as unsafe and unprofessional, the term typically used by the U.S. military to describe risky close calls experienced by its ships and aircraft in international waters and airspace. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins to discuss our relationship with China is Representative Steve Russell of Oklahoma.
Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks, Tony.
All right. Do we see these trade tensions spilling over now into, you know, the military arena with China and the U.S.?
Well, I think what you see in the South China Sea is kind of an ongoing dispute that China is developing these reefs, claiming that it's sovereign territory. These are international waters. They have one-third of the world's commerce that passed through them. It's a huge figure when you look at I think it's roughly $5 trillion worth of trade that flows through that area. And because they're international waters, what a lot of people don't realize, Tony, is that the United States Navy is the only force really in the world that secures free trade and commerce around the globe. And we have always stated that it is our policy that these waters will remain free. And we do right of the sea patrols through there. You see more aggression from China in this regard. They want to claim a 12-mile territorial waters around each one of these dotted man-made islands. International conventions at The Hague and others have ruled against China in these disputes, particularly recently against Philippines in the Treaty of the Law of the Sea, which we are not a signatory to, but nevertheless, China is, Philippines is, and they ruled in Philippines' favor on one of these disputes. But regardless, the United States policy has been very consistent, whether we've had a trade war or not. We're going to keep these sea lanes open.
So is this a policy or a decision that would be made really from the top down, or is this commanders, captains of these various vessels making these decisions?
No, this is ongoing military operations that we've done under Republican and Democratic presidents for years. This is not anything new.
Well, no, I'm talking about the Chinese and their aggressive actions. Do you think this would be the actions of one?
There's no doubt that just like our military is subject to control, in our case, of the representative republic and civilian authority, by the same token, their military is under guidelines and instructions from their central government with the nine ministers, with the communist form of government that they have. And so I would be shocked if the assertiveness that we see, whether it's like Russia and bear bombers, pushing the envelope to fly into U.S. airspace and be escorted out, it's the same thing here. There's no doubt that they are pushing the envelope.
Congressman Russell, let me ask you, what's at risk? If we had a collision where a Chinese warship collided with one of ours, what could that lead to?
Well, you have the case that if you don't have cool heads and cool commanders in these types of situations, it can lead to, you would have a very unfortunate incident where the sailors or airmen or whoever it might be involved, it's very nerve-wracking and intensive for them, or it could result in a local one-time conflict between those, whether it would lead to something further. That's when people double down on pride and sometimes double down on stupid, and before you know it, you've got politicians, rattling sabers, and these things can really take off in a dangerous direction. There have been incidents where things happen. Missiles are fired. Wrong things are hit. Mistakes are made. We saw examples of that with Israel when they attacked one of our warships during all of the tensions that were in the 1970s. I believe it was the case of the USS Stark. That was a problem. Israel was an ally at the same time. We got one of our warships hit. Things have a tendency to be able to be worked out. But you have tensions there, Horn of Africa. You've got tensions in the Straits of Hormuz with Iran. But the United States Navy is always out there making sure that international waters stay international. But look, we don't need to make China an enemy. We just don't. And now, we're not going to ever not patrol free international waters and keep them free. They have to know this. But at the same time, we need to continue to work in the areas of trade with our four instruments of national and international power. We don't do a lot diplomatically together, although we are on North Korea, and that's been good. We don't do an awful lot with information and intelligence. We're usually competitors. We don't do a lot with our militaries. In fact, we're canceling exercises and different things. We saw a helicopter carrier not allowed to go into Hong Kong here recently, and so it went to elsewhere. But the only area that we do build relations is economically. And if we cut that last tie, then guess what? It could isolate us even further, which is not
good. Quick.
You can find out more about Steve Russell when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the Donate button. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins or read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Are there real Christians in Washington, D.C.? Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is your voice when it comes to fighting for important issues that matter to you in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has worked to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We are fighting to preserve those values and to preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. But we need your help in standing up to defend the truth. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways that you can take action. Again, that's frc.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Instead of living the abundant, fruitful life that Jesus promised, some Christians are living in a quagmire of slumber and defeat. New York City pastor Carter Conlon says in his new book that never have believers had so many resources, tools, and places to fellowship as they do in today's society. Yet, in the abundance of these things, Christians have never been more ineffective and lukewarm in their faith. His book, It's Time to Pray, is releasing November 6th, and in it, Pastor Conlon will help readers understand how prayer is vital in their lives, their community, and the world. Joining us now is Carter Conlon, senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City.
Pastor Carter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how are you? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing quite well, and I'm thankful for the pre-release copy of your book. I'm actually reading it. I was reading it on the plane this morning, and I get so many different books. I don't have a time to read them all, and I'm not a fast reader. I'm a thorough reader, and I'm reading your book because prayer is really, I would say, it characterizes who you are, because I've seen you, I've watched your ministry. It is very focused on prayer. Tell our listeners kind of the motivation behind this book, It's Time to Pray.
Well, it was something that the Lord put on my heart, because in large measure, I feel that as a nation, we are in severe trouble right now. I think deeper trouble probably than most people realize. I've lived long enough, having been a police officer, and to realize that we're probably on the precipice of violence in our society now. And throughout my life, I've gone from place to place, as the Bible says, from image to image and glory to glory by the Spirit of God. He's taken me and made me into much more than I could have ever hoped to be in myself, and given me victories I could never achieve by human effort. And realistically, Tony, it's just all come through prayer. And it's my hope that if I share the experience, if I share the honest parts of it, the struggles, the trials, the difficulties, the mercy of God that's come to my life because of prayer, that it might spark people to start to pray again. And to ultimately, my hope is that we would experience enough spiritual awakening in this nation.
Well, you mentioned you were a police officer. In the book, the focus is on prayer and Jesus discussing that, actually talking to the father who had the son who was demon-possessed and said, you know, these type of things don't happen except by prayer and fasting. But in the book, you're very candid about your own personal journey in coming to know the Lord and how prayer has played a key role, and how it hasn't happened overnight, but you've seen God answer the prayers that you've prayed throughout the course of your Christian walk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I came to Christ, Tony, I was bound by fear. I couldn't even walk in a classroom in a college. If I was singled out, I would panic. I'd have to run out of the room. There's a lot of reasons for that. I don't have time to go into all of that. But just through prayer, I was set free. The Lord started teaching me how to love people, because I didn't love people or myself. Taught me again how to be, brought me through into another place where I learned how to be a husband and a father, and helped me get over some of the struggles and issues in my own life, and ultimately ended up on a platform in Africa speaking to 500,000 people that were involved in a civil war. And I share the journey from beginning to end, and I share I call it the warp and the woof and all of the struggles and trials, the good, the bad, the ugly. I think to encourage other people to believe that if we pray and believe the promises of God, it does take our lives on an incredible trajectory that can bring honor to his name. And we need this again. We need this as a people. The church of this age need this. We have to get out of the powerlessness of our present Christian profession and get back into a place where God is really manifesting his victory to us for the sake of others, realistically. It's been an incredible journey. And I didn't write this to sell books. I don't even take royalties from any of my books. They all go, every dime goes into a missions fund for human suffering. So I don't want ever there to be any suggestion that I'm doing this to make money. I'm not. I want people to learn how to pray. That's the passion in my heart, because it's been an incredible victory in my own life. And we need to rediscover it again in the church of our present day, because if we don't, Tony, I'm really, really concerned about the future and what's going to happen to this country.
I know that's the case with you. I've known you long enough, and I've watched you, and prayer is the is just really at the core of your ministry. And I will say this, I don't want to give away all the aspects of the book, because I want people to get it, because it's a great, inspiring book. But I was really touched by the account of your father and how praying for him and being able to pray with him right before he slipped into eternity was a very, well, encouraging, inspiring, and touching account that you shared in the book. Let me, before we run out of time, Pastor Carter Conlon, let me ask you this. You know what's happening. You mentioned a moment ago about where our nation is divided. We've seen it with this political theater over the Supreme Court nomination. What do people need to be praying right now?
We need to be praying for a spiritual awakening in the nation. We need to pray that we need to take authority again. You know, the scripture tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. They pull down strongholds and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we don't stand up in prayer against this onslaught of godlessness, it is going to turn to violence. I have traveled throughout Africa. I've spoken with pastors. I know the roots of the violence that got into Burundi and got into Rwanda, for example. I've spent a lot of time. I spent time with the president of Rwanda talking to him about some of these things. And we are seeing this same kind of rhetoric is coming up in our media now and across the airwaves that is now actually encouraging people to violence. And it's a very, very short step from when that begins to having actual violence in our cities and on our streets. And we are there now. We are at a very, very dangerous point in this country. And as the people of God, we either have to rise up and retake the reins of what was once a great nation, or this nation is going to be lost into a darkness that should terrify every believer in Christ. It really should.
To find out more about Pastor Carter Conlon, just head over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If your answer is yes, consider spending a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. Come experience our country's rich history and culture and immerse yourself in the most important political debates of our day. Develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. This includes a paid stipend and free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court. To learn more about the FRC internship program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Are there real Christians in Washington, D.C.? Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is your voice when it comes to fighting for important issues that matter to you in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has worked to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We are fighting to preserve those values and to preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. But we need your help in standing up to defend the truth. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways that you can take action. Again, that's frc.org. Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkill. On January 9th of this year, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals voted 3-0 to uphold the people's vote for Amendment 1, which removed the so-called right to abortion the Tennessee Supreme Court found in the Tennessee Constitution in 2000. Shortly after that, it was challenged again. But then on October 1st, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear the challenge to Amendment 1, letting the Sixth Circuit's ruling stand. A big victory for the pro-life cause and the fate of the unborn. With us now is David Fowler, the president of the Family Action Council of Tennessee.
David, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Tony. This is a demonstration of God's goodness. This is an 18-year process. This decision was in 2000. I filed the resolution to amend the Constitution in 2001. And as you said, it was just this week, finally, the Supreme Court put an end to it by refusing to hear the case. So it's a great demonstration of what God can do when His people will start and then persevere.
Right.
And it took time, but it is a great thing. And now this issue is on the ballot in West Virginia in November. They filed the exact same amendment for their constitution that we did. And now there's an amendment like it in Alabama that will be voted on in November. So it's such a blessing to have been part of something here and then see how God is using it to help other people say, well, maybe we could do that here. And that's why every little stone we throw at Goliath is worth throwing, you know?
Well, David, I know you are an attorney, and you and I have discussed the court many times, but this is an example of why the courts are so important, especially the Supreme Court. I mean, this was a right that the state Supreme Court in Tennessee found in the Constitution, much like abortion was found in our Constitution by the Supreme Court back in 1973. But let's just say, had the 2016 election gone a different way, and we had an activist placed on that court, this could have turned out much differently.
Well, absolutely, it could have. You know, they only have to have so many votes to take a case. They don't have to have the majority, but they certainly could have taken the case. And as you noted in your intro to this segment, the federal district court threw the vote out. Sixth Circuit thankfully reversed, but anytime you get to the United States Supreme Court, you don't know which way they're going to go. You know, we actually won the marriage decision in the Sixth Circuit too, and then lost it at the Supreme Court level. So So it's really, really important who sits on our benches and the state level as well as the federal level. And so this was a great blessing, and we'll hope that we can have another solid conservative on the court here in the next few days.
I hope so. I hope come close of business on Saturday, we've got another constitutionalist on the court. David, again, congratulations. And just so folks know, as you said, it was an 18-year battle. And I also know that getting this amendment passed was really a significant effort. It was a statewide effort because we were there and participated in part of that.
Sure.
But
yeah,
I just think absolutely. This is an example of persistence in standing for what is right and not giving up. So congratulations to you and all the pro-life community there in Tennessee that really pushed this effort forward.
Well, thank you. And I hope it will provide courage. I know we may need to leave this segment, but when the resolution was filed, people need to appreciate we had to pass it to the General Assembly and get 2/3 of the vote of the House and the Senate. And at the time, the pro-choice party had almost 2/3 of the vote in the House. So it looked like a stupid, vain thing to do. How are you ever going to do it? Just quit and go home. And that's what we were told. We'd just go home. It isn't ever going to pass. But we kept plugging. And it became a political issue, a campaign issue, and the next thing you know, control had changed and it passed. So people, do the right thing and let God deal with the results.
Sounds something like in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, when you've done all you can do, just keep standing. So
keep standing. That's it. And keep standing. I look forward to seeing you in Tennessee here soon.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Great to talk with you.
Bus is coming through.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.